podcasting to the world.
This plan was put together by God and Jesus before the creation of anything else.
The gospel of grace.
You are the thing that was in the mind of God.
The gospel of peace. That was Mike Williams. And this is the Gospel Revolution.
Someone apocalypse to me. I never felt like this before. Can't see evil anymore. How they sworn I was free before. This is what I've been waiting for. Welcome to freedom.
Welcome to the Gospel Revolution Powercast for Thursday, September 21, 2017. Broadcasting from the home of redemptionism, where we love every train of thought visiting our station of freedom. We're coming to you from the Gospel Revolution studios right here in Eva, Alabama, thanks to the generosity of GR executive producers Jimmy and Carrie McCollum. But right now, from Palm Beach Gardens, fresh back from our spring conference in Calgary, Alberta, Canada, and bringing you more consistent, persistent, repetitive CPR of the gospel is that president and founder of the Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Hello, Michael.
Hey, Donnie. Good morning, my friend.
Good morning to you, friend. Are you over your jet lag? I don't know how you do this.
Well, let's see. Where am I? Toto, where are we?
You're in the Gospel Revolution studios in Eva, Alabama. Does it feel foreign to you?
It feels otherworldly, honestly. So,
but believe me, Alabama is otherworldly. If it's anything, it's otherworldly.
I mean, they have their own language and everything there.
I'm telling you, fire ants and tornadoes.
No, I am back, and wow, the trip by a lifetime. Unexpected, of course, left several days, 5 days, I guess, before, was it Irene? Irma, not Irene.
Well, now that was back on the 8th or 9th or 10th or something.
So, I don't.
So you have been, and today is the 20th or 19th. Yeah, you've been away from home a couple of weeks and Irma came. How is your house, mate?
Everything here was perfect, not any damage whatsoever. We didn't even lose power. You know, Don, this was a, oh my gosh, what a revolutionary trip. I did 18 videos in Michigan.
Wow.
Randy French was up sometimes 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning editing. Once something starts, he doesn't have the ability to, I'll do this tomorrow. I kept telling him, Randy, wait till tomorrow. I can't.
No, that's right. He's been working himself to a frazzle. 18 videos. And family, we're going to be, you're going to see some of the best videos you've ever seen. We are going to have these up on YouTube and we're going to have these on the website probably within 2 or 3 weeks. It's going to take that long because, frankly, these are only 15-minute videos, average, 18 of them. But trying to get them up onto the website it just takes time. So editing and processing, and you'll be able to see some great stuff. I saw the first one. It's the only one I've seen. It's one of the best messages I've ever seen, mate.
Well, each one got better. Randy was thrilled. He was trying to figure out. He said, you're getting better. I'm getting better. What's going on here? So by the time we did the last series, you're going to hear some things that you've never heard from me or from the Gospel Revolution. We've got so much information, we could repeat anything many times, and most people would never know it. But out of the thousands of hours that we have recorded and posted for you, but these videos are going to be something. You'll be able to pick a video that just knocks your socks off, and you can challenge somebody to listen to a 15-minute video, and pastors, and teachers, anybody.
Now, when it's an hour and a half, because I point a lot of people to our podcast, and I say, oh, really, an hour and a half? I pointed someone to one of my teachings in Calgary once, and they said, oh, truly? 45 minutes?
Yeah.
And But these are 15 minutes.
15 minutes in which we remind them, if you just heard something that you think is revolutionary and you want to know more about it, we have an entire series on this that you can listen to hours of teaching, several CDs, downloads, MP3s. So if you want more information, here's where you go.
So you designed these videos around teachings that you've already made.
That we've already done.
Oh, wow.
Still, once again, I taught on things I've never taught on before in these videos about series that we've done before. The one on the faith of God blew me completely away. We went into a context of some verses that I've never taken into context. And it just is, oh my gosh. If you had any question about whether or not your faith is involved in this or not, this one will absolutely obliterate the foolishness of personal faith.
Oh, man. So that was, let me see, you flew out of Florida before Irma, not knowing if you'd have a house to come back to. You arrived at Randolph Flinch's house.
Randolph Flinch,
yes. And you did 18 videos. How many days? Jeez, how many days did you do that in, mate?
Well, it was several days. It was over almost a week that we did these. And, of course, the bigger part, the lion's share of the work was Randy's. You know, I sit there for 15 minutes and, you know, Randy thought, I thought, you know, it was going to be a lot of directing, you know, cut, do this and then say that, do this and do this and that. But I'm telling you what, once I got the system down, we started sailing through these 15 minute clips without a single interruption. I mean, they're just utterly amazing.
Okay, I want you to now check what microphone you're using.
All right, yeah, hold on. Select. Is that good?
Oh, yeah, that is so much gooder.
I think we're going to schedule maybe at least a yearly visit there to get these done. Now that we've got all the kinks out.
Just before we move on to the Gospel Revolution Spring Conference from this last weekend in Calgary, Canada.
What planet are you on?
I'm not the one who I woke up out of a nightmare.
I know it's not springtime.
When is springtime in the Rockies? Oh, it's fall. It's fall. Dang. From the Canada Fall Conference in Calgary, Alberta.
Yes. And what would you like to say about that?
I would like to ask you.
Okay.
Did you celebrate publicly up there Victor Brennan's birthday? Because it was his birthday last week. Did you praise and celebrate him as the person who makes Calgary even possible?
We did that without celebrating his birthday. However, the last day, they gave me a card, a birthday card, because my birthday was last month and they missed it. And because it was the number 65. You know, people might miss your 30th birthday. They might miss your 25th birthday. But turned 65, everybody wants to recognize it. It's like, go away.
Now, I just had a birthday recently.
And the most god-awful card. This was the worst card I've ever seen in my life.
They're Canadians. What do you want? Hey, listen. Hey,
guess who picked it out?
Victor Brennan?
Neil? Yes, picked it out. Oh, so more?
Well, he's capable of picking up a very fine-looking lady. I know. I've seen it. I've seen one of them. And he should have got his lady to pick it out. Okay. So that tells me he hasn't got a girlfriend at the moment. Now, so you had a birthday. I had a birthday too. Did they give you a birthday card for me?
Nope.
What an ignorant bunch.
I know.
So you did celebrate Victor Brennan's birthday. That's good. Tell me what else happened up there. Now, I'm all agog. I'll just shut my cake hole, and I won't say another word until you're done with Calgary Conference.
Well,
except to say, oh no, keep going.
Now here we had a group of people that's been coming to these conferences for a better part of 20 years.
Man, they just don't learn, do they?
No. Came out of this conference saying they think that this was the best conference we've ever had. So,
wow.
That should say something, because you guys have been listening to CDs from Calgary for an awful long time. If we have a full set, except for a couple of recordings we've done in Gainesville and in Cullman, all of our series. And I'm standing there looking at our CD table, and it's like, when was this one done? I've never heard of this series before.
You were surprising yourself with your own product?
That's how good of a well-oiled machine we run, that I do what I do, everybody else does what they do, and I'm standing back looking, seeing, why I don't remember doing this series. Where did that title come from? You know? I was standing there. People said, well, what's this? I said, I don't know. I don't know what it's about.
What do you put this lack of memory down to? Could it be age?
I put it down to the fact I had nothing to do with the production of the CDs whatsoever, except I spoke the message. Never seen the covers on these before, which to me means things are going very well.
Okay. What else happened at the conference?
Well, Nardos Kibidi from Ethiopia, he shared his story of coming to understand the gospel, coming into the gospel just in the last year and a half. He has put in his resignation from the church, which he founded and pastored. He did not just pastor this church. He founded this church.
And this is an Ethiopian-speaking church, I think.
It is, yes. And it's Pentecostal. Everyone was in tears. He never shed a tear. He had a big smile on his face the whole time, but his story is just so moving, so powerful in coming to understand the gospel as a pastor. Not just, and again, folks, you got to understand, there's pastors who people hire. Then there's pastors who actually have gone out there and started churches on their own. And that has been Nardos. And his father also did the same thing. And Nardos was going to walk in his father's shoes. And
where is his father?
I'm not sure. I think Nardos' father is still in Ethiopia.
Uh-huh.
And he is said he still has yet to have a conversation with his father about all of this. I think there's been some rumblings about it. So his dad knows there's something going on with his son's thinking. But yeah, you've just got to hear this.
And family, in the next few weeks, you're going to hear Nardos. You're going to hear why people were so overwhelmed with his testimony. You're going to hear just a little bit, just a little bit of what you missed out on in our fall conference. What else happened up there, mate?
Not only did you miss out on Nardos, but you're going to be, man, I tell you what, if a corporation was out headhunting for the best and the most talented and the most productive, and the list goes on and on, they would have picked Nardos to do this. So this has been, you guys, he is technically savvy. He does videos. He's already done videos with me. The things of he's already getting out as much gospel as we do at the Gospel Revolution into Ethiopia and other countries. I mean, he is just a very busy boy. And then our guest speaker that was listed on the sheet, and Nardos wasn't even listed. I mean, this is just a total bonus for you. Wade Brewer was gracious enough to do our conference. Everybody's always asked me, who do I listen to? And we now have a lot of people who have, incredible skill at sharing the gospel. But my favorite Bible teacher in the world is Wade Brewer.
Now, frankly, family, I would rather hear Wade Brewer speak than eat.
Yeah.
And I have heard him eat.
Yeah. Now, Don, and compared to what you heard, this is going to knock your socks off. This was Wade Brewer on steroids.
Oh, wow, because We have a podcast where we interviewed Wade Brewer. He was good enough to give us an hour of his time to interview. And to this day, I will, and actually to my dying day, I will never forget the picture he painted about a school bus. And if you want to know more about that family, www.gospelrevolution.com. Just go to our front page and search for Wade Brewer, or Brewer for that matter, and you'll hear that one. And that's the one that just drew me to Wade. And you're telling me this is better?
Oh, gosh. Stunningly better. And he took our entire Saturday night session.
Some people are just greedy like that.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to make sure that he did all he could do and all he wanted to do. And no one was expecting this. Even people who've heard Wade Brewer for years were blown away.
Wow. Now, okay, so Victor Brennan's birthday, Nardos, Wade Brewer. What about me? Did anyone mention me?
Oh, yes. Oh, these people. Goodness gracious. They are so Canadian, you know, all of the sweetness, all the syrup. Where's our Donnie? Where's Barris? They said they didn't know if they liked this Don business or not. So, and one thing you'll get out of our Canadian friends is that they're not going to hedge on what they think. They asked why you weren't here, and I just told them you're just too damned expensive. So,
yeah, and I'm too mean to pay my own way. If you want me to come up, pay my. Hey, listen, so that was all that happened up there?
No, it was a whole lot more. You're just going to have to listen, folks. I can't even remember. I don't even know what I did. What are you talking about?
Well, that's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. You're getting too old to remember. What did you do? I mean, now, correct me if I'm wrong. You are the major draw card, aren't you?
Anymore, it doesn't make any difference to these folks. They just know they're going to get gospel. If it's Gospel Revolution approved, it is Gospel Revolution sealed, and they're going to come to hear any whatever is being out there. And this time, like all the ones before, certainly did not didn't disappoint. I went to teach on the Book of James.
Yeah. What did I tell you at the very beginning? Now, come on, fess up. Tell the family, what did I tell you at the very beginning?
You told me I would do a very fine job on teaching James.
Oh, your pants are smoking, boy. Your pants are smoking.
So I had four of the sessions. I shared one with Nardos. The fifth session was, of course, done by Wade Brewer. And after three sessions of follow-up to our predestination series, and on this one I went into the emphasis of before the foundation of the world, and we almost wound up before the foundation of the world by the time I got through the teaching. But I did take the last session to lay the framework for the Book of James. I thought I was just going to do a miserable job on this, and I've got to listen to it because everyone there was just seemed to be just quite taken aback by this one session on Sunday. I've got to listen to it. I've already, for the folks listening, I've already called Don and told him, I really need you to listen to this and find out what I did. I don't know what I did, but everybody seemed to be pleased with this.
I'm going to say, without hearing it yet, I'm going to say that your first mistake was in trying to lay a framework for James.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't think I've got any to say any more. I mean, sometimes you just read some incoherent teaching and you know, trying to lay a framework for incoherency. Well, you know, you might be even trying to stretch your imagination, Michael.
Yet I think we did it, yeah.
Oh, wow. It sounds, mate, it sounds like a crackerjack conference.
It was the folks didn't want to leave. Nobody would get out of their chairs. We would end these sessions and people just sat there and just they wouldn't move. And then it's like kind of herding sheep. You have to start saying, shoo, shoo, get out of here.
Gospel Revolution bumper stickers.
I am God and I love you so much that I created hell, just in case you didn't love me back.
Gospel Revolution bumper stickers.
Moving on to other things, we have somebody in Burma. Now, I call it Burma. I'm not sure that Myanmar is a name that most of us know. But we have a man in Burma. Just give us a very, very quick précis on our man in Burma.
Don, of course, this was a gentleman who started hearing the gospel. He is from Burma or Myanmar at the time he left with a lot of the persecution there, from my understanding, and then took exile in Switzerland and married a Swiss girl, had four children, and learned the gospel, and then took the whole family back to Myanmar to share the gospel. The gentleman bought all of our tapes. After we realized he was buying them, we offered everything free to them when we realized what he was doing and what his goals were. And they took up residence in an accompanying country. And we're sorry to be so vague about these things, but folks, you got to realize that people's lives are on the line, not only here, but in Kenya. People so dedicated to sharing the gospel that we don't want to foolishly jeopardize them from this end by giving out information. So I got a photograph from them of about 25 of the most beautiful faces I've ever seen in my life, of a Bible school that the Gospel Revolution now has in Burma. And the secrecy with which they have to conduct those meetings. And if there's anything, once in a while we'll hear, you know, to me it's like Amelia Earhart flying around the planet and just once in a while able to come in contact with an island that had a tower, and oh, okay, Amelia's here, you know, and then they'd wait days and oh, over here. And that's kind of the way our information is coming out of Burma. So we just have to wait. There is no true communication that we can just say, hey, what's happening?
Well, the reason I raised Burma and our man in Burma was because of a report of ethnic cleansing which is happening there. In the last week, the most tragic story has emanated from Burma, or from Myanmar, depending on how you want to call it. Nearly 500,000 Rohingya. I'm not sure how Rohingya Muslims differ from other Muslims, Shiite or anything else. But these are a religio-ethnic group, I guess I should say. They've fled from the Buddhist majority country in the past month, and they're living in overcrowded camps in Bangladesh now, which is a Muslim country. When India was partitioned, both by India and the British Empire, when it was partitioned into East Pakistan and West Pakistan. Now, West Pakistan, if I have my information right, is now Pakistan, and East Pakistan became Bangladesh. And the whole thing was orchestrated in order to get all the Muslims out of India. So all they had left was Buddhists and Christians and mostly Hindus. Bangladesh has said, look, you're like a guest in the house here. You're here for a bit, but get out. I mean, you would have thought that one Muslim country would accept Muslim refugees, but apparently, and in Australia, we have an ongoing problem where we put boat people into detention camps off the mainland so that they can't claim mainland privileges. You know, well, I've landed now in Australia, so I should be able to be an Australian, and so forth. Now, to simplify it, but you would think, and see, Christianity does this, although Australia is largely a secular country, Christianity does do this. You're a black person. Sorry, you don't have the same privileges as us under slavery. You are a Rohingya Muslim. You don't have the same privileges as us under a Muslim country. And this is happening under a regime which is said to be the most peaceful religion on earth, Buddhist and Buddhism. Yeah. So I just wanted to highlight, Mike, and you might want to say something about this. I wanted to highlight the fact that religion does not mean that we actually see each other as one.
No, and you know, you're reminding me now of the story, because this gentleman flew all the way to Houston to spend two or three days to speak with me because his life was changing. His entire view of life and everything was changing from another long lineage of ministers and pastors. Randy French is from a long lineage of pastors in the family, uncles and also, Nardos is from a lineage of pastors and ministers, and our friend in Burma is also from a long family lineage of pastors. And he told me of the this took place many years ago in Burma and in what was called Myanmar for sure at the time, that they had to escape the oppression of a Buddhist sect, that they were being murdered by Buddhists. Now, being murdered by Buddhists, you see, for Americans, that does not compute, because we've received the Americanized version of all these religions. We romanticize anything other than Christianity. Oh, it's so sweet. It's so wonderful. Oh, they're this, they're that, and we're going to practice it. And let me tell you something. The Americanized version of all of these religions is a Hollywood version of them.
I remember several years ago, I was having a conversation with Chris Harrison, a friend of the Gospel Revolution, but not a gospel revolutionary, I think is a fair way to put it. And he took exception to your statement that if somebody was going to be anything but a Christian, it'd be preferable that they would be an atheist or a Buddhist. And he took great exception to this and said that he had been in countries, because he travels a fair bit in Southeast Asia, where if only we knew what he knew, we would know that Buddhism was not a culture of love and friendship. I fought this concept in my ignorance, and I'm starting to see what both you and he are saying now.
Yeah, I had the American Hollywood version of Buddhism also, and it's just like any single view. If you think any religion has a monolithic view, it just isn't. Let me drop back just a moment to say this, since we're on this topic. In this teaching that Wade Brewer did, in 5 minutes, Don, people are going to learn more accurate view of the Quran than they've ever heard in their lives. 5 minutes. 5 minutes, you're going to learn more about the Quran. He studies the Quran. He feels he understands it well enough to where that he goes around asking for appointments with imams around all over the area to have them sit down and talk with him. So,
does he value his life at all, do you think?
When it comes to the gospel, Wade Brewer is not going to be able to close his mouth. When we go to the lion's den, he's probably going to be leading the parade. So
one is almost tempted to say that sounds a lot like Paul.
And folks, we just want you to know the gospel truth. And the only reason we do anything about other religions, the reason we did about the book of James, is because we want the gospel to survive the gospel revolution long after the gospel revolution and its advocates are gone off of planet Earth. We want to have left a body of work that you don't have questions about the book of James. You don't have questions about Islam that haven't been significantly and accurately addressed. You don't have questions about what is the scriptures. You don't have questions about did Peter, James, and John disagree, and why and where and what does it say, and who quoted scripture and who didn't quote scripture, who quoted it accurately and who didn't quote it accurately. We're trying to put together a body of work that will be alive 500 years from now, 1,000 years from now.
But in the meantime, send us your money.
Yeah, because it takes money to try to do something that's going to last for the next millennium.
All they care about is getting money, 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 money.
Given what's happening before our very eyes right now in Myanmar, what would you say to people like our friend Chris Harrington? And family, we have a friend, Chris Harrington, who is... he rates very high in our respect. But what would you say to him?
Well, I actually wouldn't say anything to him. Chris has been, Chris has traveled the world, and he's actually met with the Dalai Lama. And I would like to ask him about this and ask him what are his views on a sect of Buddhism. Why is there a sect of Buddhism that has turned so violent?
Of course, some people could say that, well, you've got the core belief, and then you've got the radical belief, as in Islam,
mm-hmm.
or as in Buddhism, or as in Christianity. Would that be so wrong to say?
Well, it's whether wrong or right, that's what we say, you know, and we're always trying to make exceptions and excuses for religions, including Christianity. That's what you're going to learn from Wade Brewer, is this religion of peace and religion of violence. And it's both in the Quran, depending on when it was written. It was written over, I learned for the first time, it was written over 20-something years. And what it started out as and what it became are two different things, it seems, altogether. Again, you will have to listen to this. I want you to hear it from the man who has studied this out.
$499, family. You can get that evidence right into your own CD player. Am I right there, by the way?
Exactly, to the dime. I'm amazed at your comprehension of math.
Oh, and of making money.
Economics. Oh, my. Oh. You are an economic wizard.
I am a sad loss to the FDA. FDA, what is the FDA? What is that group?
Let's stay with the FDA. That's the Food and Drug Administration, yes.
Oh, gosh.
You're a loss to food. You're a loss to drugs also.
I'm just a loss. I'm a loss to my parents. Yep, we're a sad loss to the Federal Reserve.
There you go.
On a quick note, we want to send our condolences to Al Vitale, whose dad died this week.
Yeah.
Now, Al lives in Gainesville, Georgia, which is like down the very, very, not just down the bottom of a gully, but the very far end of a gully in America, which is pretty close to falling off the edge of the world. And his dad lived in southern Illinois. He came from your neck of the woods, Michael.
Yeah.
And his dad passed away this week. And we just want to pass on our sincere condolences to you,
yes.
Al Vitale, not just because you're our friend and an integral part of the gospel revolution, but because every time any of us have any connection, the loss of which causes us grief and distress,
yeah.
We also hurt.
Yes, and we pass on all the love that the gospel revolution and your friends, Al, have for you, regardless of age or how old we or they are. When a parent passes away, it's a whole different paradigm of life, that is for sure. So our hearts are with you, my friend.
Now, on multiple news sources, we are getting this message that the world is going to end on September 23. Oh, my God. Oh, geez. We are only, hells, bells, and buckets of blood. We're only 2 days out, mate.
Well, I can guarantee you that it's the end of the world.
How's that?
It's Hazel's birthday.
Oh, okay. Oh, geez.
I knew if God was going to kill everybody, he'd do it on Hazel's birthday.
So now I've got to find a clip that says, "Happy birthday, Mrs. President."
She would rather a masculine voice, if you don't mind.
"Happy birthday, Mrs. President." How's that for you?
Oh, I didn't say Rodney Dangerfield, but goodness
I
gracious.
I don't get no respect. Okay, a Christian numerologist claims that the world will end next Saturday when a planet will supposedly collide with Earth. According to Christian numerologist David Mead, do you know this turkey?
No,
oh,
I do not.
Oh, did I say that? I mean this brother. Verses in Luke 21:25-26 are a sign that the end events, and it goes on and on and on, and it regurgitates so much. Now, it doesn't matter that NASA, you know, what would they know, has repeatedly said that this planet X, or I think they call it Nubra. Oh, crikey, I don't know. There is a name for this planet, and it's been used, this is the fourth or fifth time it's been used as the idea that it'll be the end of the world. Family, here is what I thoroughly recommend you do. You have 2 days to do this. You have 2 days to tie this down. I want you to get on the web. I want you to get on Facebook. I want you to get on every news site you can, and I want you to invite the people who, the proponents of this idea, the people who are pushing this idea, and particularly, why don't you do this? I've got an idea. Why don't you Google David Mead, DavidMeade. He's a Christian numerologist. Find out his email address and send him an email. All of you, come on, we can do this. We got a bit of push here. Send him an email saying, "Look, we believe that you're right. Would you just send us the deeds to your house and the deeds to all of your automobiles and cars, dated the day after the 23rd? Would you do that for us?"
Yeah, exactly.
That's what we say here at the Gospel Revolution. You know, after this and last week, we should have a special bonehead investiture. Can we play the bonehead award here?
Yes, if anybody deserves it, this guy does. Here you go.
Bonehead of the day.
Yeah, well, you know, what do I have to say to this? It ain't gonna happen. And next item, please.
Oh, God, I can't believe that these things keep on going. Now, Michael, last week, I think it was, or the week before, I was talking about sending Bibles to Malawi. Now, you might say, GRs, why send Bibles? Why not just send the Scriptures? And the reason we send Bibles is the same reason we preach out of the whole Bible. We want to use the whole Bible to teach and to preach out of. We don't necessarily believe that the whole Bible is the whole inerrant Word of God. I mean, that takes a special kind of, well, it takes a special kind of ignorance. I was going to say stupid, but it's not exactly stupid. There are plenty of people who've been taught from birth, and that's all they've got. I received no responses to that, which is telling me something, I think, which is important. And at the moment, while I would like to send Bibles to Malawi, I don't have the cash. I've just taken, by the way, a $500 a month hit in my and my wife's income. And that was after I said on our podcast that I didn't have the cash on hand. I would love to send these Bibles over to Malawi. There is a real person with a real good heart, and his name is Charles Saini, and I'd like to very much support him, but I can't. And look, I'm not belly aching. All I'm saying is I don't know what to do about this. So that's all I guess I'm saying, Mike.
Yeah, if anybody would like to help on this, all you got to do is let us know. and we will apply the funds accordingly.
When you send funds to us, we don't take anything out of it except what we do is we put it into an exchange rate thing and they get what you've given.
Same thing is happening, on Sunday, we gave people opportunity to help our friends in Kenya. And I don't know how much of that came in, but I questioned Vic in front of the people. If this group puts in $1,000 to go to Kenya, I asked Vic, how much of that $1,000 goes to Kenya? And he said $1,000 goes to Kenya. So, and we pay the transfer fees and all of that. We don't even take any, we take nothing out of it. We make sure they get what the people, and we incur cost actually when these things
yes.
happen.
Gospel Revolution.
We got an email this week, Michael, and it was from Errol Kinestino, and he is the gentleman who was a friend of the Gospel Revolution.
Yes.
And Errol wrote, my father's, you know, family, if only you heard what we throw out on the cutting room floor, I'm pretty sure you'd probably go back to being a Presbyterian or something. And you're never going to hear some of this stuff. Errol wrote, my father's name is spelled Lawrence James Thomas Kinestino.
Yeah.
He was not Inuit.
Yep.
But an Anisinaabe, Salto, brackets, Ojibwe, from the Treaty 4 territory in southern Saskatchewan, Ochipawache, First Nation. He enjoyed your ministry and lived to 88 years of age.
Yes, he did.
Thank you sincerely for the mention, Errol Kinestino.
And Errol, thank you for giving us accurate information. And we got his full name. I did not know his full name like that. So thank you, Errol. Errol did listen to this. He was very grateful for our mention of his father. And believe me, this man deserved to have his name said fully, correctly, and his identity accurately ascribed to him. This was one man who was grateful for the gospel. Goodness, he was grateful for the gospel.
And so, Errol, thank you so much for correcting us. And
yes,
in yet another thing, we have discovered that when we were wrong and corrected, we were just that much closer to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we honor our friend and our brother.
Yes,
Lawrence Kinestino.
Do you believe what I believe about you? Do you know what I know to be true? I put eternity into your heart. I've been madly in love from the very start. And forever we belong together.
Michael, this week I write to you in an email, and I actually, after this, I put it up on the web. And I wrote, in the disciples' prayer, Jesus, looking forward to Calvary, taught his followers to pray, your will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Paul, looking back to the same historical event, wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, 6 through 7, God commanded light to shine out of the darkness and has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Some time back, I was searching for a way to describe you and I as the new creation Paul teaches on, and I coined the phrase, God in the earth. That's what we are, God in the earth. In this new species of God in the earth, we actually cannot tell where God ends and we start or where we end and God starts. If you want to know about that a little bit more, just simply ask yourself, where did that thought come from? And the only thing I know for sure is if I get a thought, oh, geez, I'd like to rape that girl, I'd like to murder that person, I can be pretty sure that that is not God. But as for the rest of it, I have no idea. If you want to start some fun at a party, Find someone who deals with the mind or brain on a daily basis, you know, a surgeon, a psychologist, a psychiatrist, even a physiologist. And the reason the physiologists are important is because they link the brain to muscle action and so forth. And ask them this simple question: where does the brain end and the mind start?
Mm-hmm.
They can't tell you. But they'll take a long time explaining that they can't tell you. So also with this God-man new creation that we are. You are God in the earth. Now, I want you to hear this, family. You are God in the earth. Consider the possibilities. Dare we call them awesome?
Yeah, and Don sent this to me to see what I thought about it, and it's like, yeah, boy, this is good stuff for sure. And of course, in reading anything that Don does, I also look for the humor in it. And when he said, talk to anybody who deals with the brain on the daily basis, and it's like, wow, I deal with a brain on a daily basis. I guess Don doesn't.
Not me, mate. Not me. No, I'm out of that playground.
Just occasionally he deals with a brain. So.
Yeah, maybe if I'm in an open court with a biased judge, or I'm talking to a copper who's pulling me up. You know, I got pulled up by a copper the other day, and he said, did you know you're speeding? And I said, I'm trying to catch up with the traffic. And he said, there is no traffic. And I said, you see how far behind I am.
Don, this is really true. This the reality, this is a gospel reality of this God-man, God in the earth paradigm and understanding that everyone who has come through Christianity, still in there, or if you've come out, this will be the paradigm shift that the gospel does require. So, as you read through this, as you listen to it, go back and listen to it again. If you can go on to our website, go to where any place that it's posted and print it out so that you can read it several times.
Under articles. Just go to www.gospelrevolution.com and go to articles. And by the way, don't stop there. Just read all the articles.
Might as well.
Yeah, they're pretty good. This week we also got an email from, who is this? Michael Foster. Now, what Mike's done, and we're going to put this up on the web, what Michael's done, and Philip Britton did a similar thing. They have both sent to us copies of what they are going to use in order to advertise the gospel to people who need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me guess now. That would be... Yes, that would be everybody.
Hello? Yep.
Yeah. So go to www.gospelrevolution.com and I'll probably put a link on the front page to this, Mike, because this is really good. In short, he says, a study meeting in home meets weekly in New Prague, Minnesota. We are not a part of organized Christianity or a church. We are redemptionists. Redemptionism asserts that the redemption of all humanity happened at the cross 2,000 years ago. He finishes with your saying, mate, this is the good news. There's no bad news in the good news. He said, I love the original Greek in 1 Timothy 4:10 for human or all mankind, literally being the savior of anthropon, all beings, all humankind. That's true. Not anthropos, but anthropon. And if you don't understand the difference, by all means look it up. But he says, the interlinear scripture analyzer can be such a great help. Just got back from a day out at the local Renaissance Fair. Gorgeous day out there. Couldn't help but be impressed with all the beautiful people, so many different individuals. redeemed by God out of all ages, sizes, shapes, also different, yet all one if they could wake up to it. We talked to one young guy that we gave a flyer to gospelrevolution.com. His approach was very intellectual but still interesting to talk to. I placed a Craigslist ad for a non-denominational family. You should be doing this. It ain't very often that we tell you what you should be doing. You should be doing this. I placed a Craigslist ad for a non-denominational study for those who might be looking for a study to sort out the confusion from Christianity, and got a phone call this morning from a young guy in Iowa. Now, this is at least one state away, maybe two, isn't it? That is interested, said he wanted truth and was so tired of the deception and money-making of the churches, who he rightly identified as the modern Pharisees. He's a little far away, but we may have a dialogue going on with him now about the gospel. Shows how far south, I guess, these Craigslist ads are read. Oh, okay. It was a fair bit south. Still waiting to hear from our local newspaper here. Talk soon and keep on with all the good stuff and getting the gospel out, Michael and Dexter. Now, family, we're going to start publishing more and more because we have more and more people saying, listen, this is what I did. This is what I am doing too. Mm-hmm. Share the gospel. I've got to tell you the truth. With the exception of Mel and Al over in Gainesville, Georgia, and Brad over in, I think it's Arkansas or Arizona, I'm not sure how many people are taking the time out to just have a get-together over coffee and cakes in their own home with other people to share the gospel. And I just think that what Phil Britton has done and what this gentleman, Mike Foster, has done, Mike and Dexter, I just think it's, gosh, I love it. Now, this, in the New Testament, when it talked about preaching the gospel in one place, the word in English means gossiping the gospel. These are people who need to know they are one.
Yeah.
And Mike and I want to just encourage you, gossip the gospel all you can. I am still growing the to do this on my own website, but you're going to see more and more of me preaching the gospel on my own website because all the rest of it, honestly, I mean, what's it worth?
Well, exactly. And I have to tell you, Don, I have heard from more than one source. I don't know exactly what you've done on here, but I'm hearing from folks that there's been an amazing uptick in your writings and things on the gospel. I'm not sure what mediums they're talking about, but they are quite impressed with what they're hearing, what they're reading. They say it is so helpful, so beneficial, and that you seem to just not be interested in a damn thing but the gospel. So,
Wow, thank you. And let me tell you what I've done, because I hadn't planned on this, but I may as well do it now. And that is, I have a lot of people on my friends list. And in them are people who are my Christian friends for six decades. Now, you don't kiss them goodbye.
No.
You just don't do that. There's my family. There are my nieces and nephews and cousins and sis and siblings and previous wives. They're all there. But I want to share that. I want the time I have left to count for the most that it can count. And so I have other groups. I'm not going to tell you what the names are, but there's a cooking group. There is a political wake-up group. There is a sustainable living group. There is a theological history group. I've got a bunch of groups. And now I post all those things that I want to post there. I post them there. I just don't post them on my personal website because my personal website is going where once it was for my personal friends, now it is for the gospel.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not telling you should do that. I'm just saying this is where I got to.
Yeah.
And that's all I know.
Well, it seems to be having a real impact. So,
well, thank you.
You know, when you find something that works, keep doing it.
Yeah, yeah. Don't change it. What's that saying?
Don't fix it if it ain't broke.
There you go. I'll quote you. And don't forget, family, if you believe that we have not answered your questions or addressed your emails, please resend them. Please resend them as we too make. I can't say this. Could you say it, Michael? We make unintended mistakes. Well, I can't say that. I wrote this out.
But I'm not sure why you can't say it though. You're always good at the truth.
You are so bad. Oh golly, you're bad. Ah, that's too funny.
You believe what I believe about you. You are beautiful, so precious too. You're irreplaceable and unique, created for this intimacy, and forever we belong together. I say I think you're amazing. Ooh, I say I think you're amazing. Ooh, my love for you never changed.
So today we have as our special guest one, Sean Smith from, oh, I don't know, somewhere down on the coast in Alabama. So far down south, there is no south further south. Hello, Sean. How are you?
Man, I'm doing super. I've had a good morning so far. I'm still working on my cup of Java. I'm good to go.
You have a Facebook group called Java Joe, don't you?
Yes, Java Joe. I just got tired of religion and politics, and I have found something that everybody likes. Well, not everybody, but everybody can appreciate coffee. Even those who don't understand it have morning routines that they will live by, and my morning routine is Java. So I have a particular love for coffee or. And so I've nicknamed myself Java Joe, and Joe is also short for coffee. So I have a Facebook group. It's all about nothing, and people can say how they feel, what they feel. And so that's just my medium of getting out my nothingness and having a little fun.
Your nothingness. We published one of your articles on our website, www.gospelrevolution.com. And it was called, wasn't a Cage of Monkeys, that was...
I was called by a monkey to preach.
Yeah, yeah. So where does this all start for you?
After I was born, my mama died within an hour after I was born. The doctors botched a hysterectomy, and she bled to death shortly after I was born.
Right, here in America?
No, this was in Guayaquil, Ecuador, when I was born. My parents were Southern Baptist missionaries there in Ecuador, and most of my siblings were born overseas as they were on what they call the mission field.
Where do the monkeys come from? Why do you compare your life to monkeys?
Well, have you ever met a monkey face-to-face? You ever been face-to-face with a monkey? Well, you would know that there's no discernible pattern. You know, with the monkeys, you know, what they do, you know, they eat, they poop, they sleep, they swing and they make noise. And sometimes those monkeys will stop and sling some dung at you, right at you. And so, you know, that's one of my monikers, you know, when religion hits the fan, meaning when dung hits the fan, duck. And so that's where slung dung comes from. I'm just a monkey in life. I'm a part of life, which is crazy. There's always somebody in charge. There's always somebody pulling the strings. And life is some kind of like a marionette, a puppet master. deciding who goes where, and they do that by either by the tithes in church, or they do that by the taxes in the world. And so they decide your parameters. I have a philosophy, and this is a the way that politics in society goes. There's communism, which has a really short stall, where a small stall where they keep a very tight leash on people. And then you have socialism. It's bigger, where they can run around a little bit more. It's, you know, like a horse has a corral. And then there is the capitalism, where you can't see any of the fences, but if you go real fast one way, you will run into a fence. So there's always somebody in control. And so that's what I mean by having a zookeeper. And so everybody has a zookeeper in this life. That's the beauty about my spirit, is that I'm free. Nobody has control over my spirit and how I feel and how I think. And because of the good news that Jesus Christ, he lived, he died, he resurrected. And because of that, I know that my spiritual self will never die. And so from that, I have no parameters.
How did all of that become a monkey on your back?
Well, going back to my mom and her dying shortly after I was born, that was perceived by my family and even touted by them as being the supreme sacrifice that my mother could, that my mother died that I might live, and that her sacrifice was a debt that I had to pay up, that I had to pay off, and I had to do it by doing something great for God. And their idea was that I would be this great preacher, and I would become greater than Billy Graham. And that was what they had in store for me.
How did that work out for you?
Well, that was sort of kind of like making my life seem like I was a monkey on a bicycle, as a wild monkey on a bicycle.
Hang on, a monkey on a bicycle. I've seen monkeys on bicycles, and they do pretty well, apparently. Why didn't you?
As a wild monkey on a bicycle. Why a wild monkey on a bicycle? Well, for the first of all, I stuttered very badly. I had a problem with speaking. And also, I have some really soft, a really soft heart, really soft emotions. I would cry whenever I would mention the name Jesus.
Well, don't do it now. You're on an interview now. Don't do it now.
Webb.
What? Listen, monkey.
Yeah. So you see, even today, it impacts me. And I was petrified of public speaking. And, you know, being a guy, the last thing you want to do is stand up in front of a bunch of people and cry. In fact, Barris, doing this interview, it doesn't matter. Talking about Jesus, I get all soupy and all misty, because I know the power that name has given me, and I don't have to speak in his name. I can speak in my name because of what he did, the second Adam.
You don't sound so much like a Marine sergeant.
Well, you know that for every person who has one characteristic, there is a characteristic to offset. Now, Barris, you've known me a little while, and you know that I get emotional just by talking about Jesus and how he affects me and the good news that I want to share. Now, I didn't feel very manly about that, so that's about the time that I joined the Marine Corps.
Mm.
It was by accident that I joined the Marine Corps. I was with a friend who wanted me to go with him downtown El Paso, Texas, to join the Marines, and he was disqualified because he had asthma. So the recruiter looked at me and he said, Smith, do you want to be a Marine? And I said, well, I'm too fat to join the Marine Corps. And he said, that's not what I asked you. You want to be a Marine. And so at that moment, I thought this was my way to get away from my soft heart and from my mother's shadow on my life. So I said, yeah. And he said, well, do everything that I tell you to do so you can join the Marine Corps. And so I did. I lost down the weight and down to 245. The Marine Corps took me and went to boot camp. And, you know, the first thing the Marine Corps recruiter told me is, look what we have here, a beach ball with lips.
Oh, wow.
And I knew that I was a marked man after that because I went to boot camp at 245 and I left weighing 185 pounds.
So if you were a marked man with your family, like your mother died so that you would reach greatness, you were an even more marked man with the Marine Corps. Dang. Now tell me something. What is the Marine Corps? Tell me what the Marine Corps is responsible for.
The Marine Corps is basically responsible for protecting the captain of every Navy ship.
You mean on the bridge at all times, along with the captain of a Navy ship, is a Marine officer?
Yes. It's a officer or somebody who is acting officer of the day.
Okay.
Is with, and they're there to keep away mutiny.
So presumably you've got more than one Marine on every naval ship.
Oh, there's always a detachment.
What's a detachment?
Well, there's probably a platoon worth. There's probably anywhere between 50 and 70 Marines. And so at any given moment around the world, the Marine Corps can have Marines there in at the site because of, you know, that's why they have a saying, call in the Marines, because they're always closer to whatever's happening than the Army or the Air Force.
Okay, hold up. Now, I happen to know, because I'm a musician, I happen to know the Marine hymn. So can you tell me what it means when it says, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli?
Yes.
What's it mean?
Yes, I can. The halls of Montezuma, that was the Battle of Chapultepec in Mexico. This was about the time, this is when Santa Anna was still El Presidente of Mexico. And so this was, and so the U.S. had a war with Mexico. So, to finish up your question, from the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli, that was a time when the Barbary pirates, when they were interfering with American shipping. And so they were close to the Lebanon, and so they were interfering with the shipping. So Thomas Jefferson sent a detachment of Marines to Tripoli and to hammer out and to ensure that the agreement was stuck to. And that was about the time, I think that was Thomas Jefferson, that made a reference to the leader of the Islamic forces over there, that he said that the United States is not a Christian nation, because they were afraid that Thomas Jefferson was going to force Christianity on the world.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. So over in North Africa, on the Mediterranean and down the sides of Africa, are we talking, if I remember right, Muslim pirates were holding all kinds of other nations' ships to ransom. And this is what Thomas Jefferson responded to. Have I got that right?
Yes, that is what happened.
So can you sing that Marine hymn?
I can. Do you want all three verses or just one verse?
I just like one verse.
Okay. Well, the first verse is goes like this. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of Tripoli. We fight our country's battles in the air, on land, and sea. First to fight for right and freedom, and to keep our honor clean. We are proud to claim the title of United States Marine. There you go.
So you went in there and they made fun of you, which is all that your family did apparently. And but you did not become a Marine without some pretty big sacrifices on your part, I'm thinking.
Every day was, I started out at 0530. We went to bed at 2130, which is 930 for the civilians. And from that point and on, we would eat three squares a day. I was on half rations, so I make my butt half the size that it was. We ran and ran everywhere we went, and we marched. We learned cadence. I was with a squadron, a VM. It was a fixed wing observation squadron with the old OV-10, Vietnam veteran, vintage aircraft. And the squadron was responsible for observation and also carrying some particular types of weapons to make spotting for aircraft. I can't tell you what they are, but that was what their job was. I had just had shoulder surgery, and so I could not go with the unit to the desert, and so I stayed behind.
Which desert is that?
They went to Desert Storm, the first one in 91. I served under Ronald Reagan and George Bush. I stayed home, and my job was to ensure that the military over there had things that they need, particularly the specialized equipment and manuals that my squadron needed in the fight over there. And so that was my job. I was put on a detail, and this particular detail was called the Emergency Reclamation Team. And what we would do is we would go up or around wherever an aircraft had crashed, and we would reclaim the pieces of the aircraft and reclaim the bodies unless somebody had got to them first. Sometimes wild animals will get to the bodies before we could. And so one of our aircraft went down in San Bernardino Mountains, and I was a part of that team. So we couldn't just drive there. We had to be flown in by a helo, helicopter. So we had to climb ropes to get up to where the aircraft was. And the aircraft area, you could see where the aircraft hit the cliff wall. And so we had to clean up. You could even see the blood embedded into the rock face where these poor fellas slammed. The situation was like if you took an egg and you threw it up against the wall face, and it was splattered, and you had bits and pieces of the egg and the shell on the ground, and embedded into the wall were these pilots, like I was talking about the eggs. These were men that we talked to on a regular basis. As I was picking up the personal effects of one of them, I came across his eyeglasses, and it stuck in my mind. It's still there today. I'm carrying his glasses in my hands. And I see the glasses on the pilot's face the last time I saw him. And I had to drop the pilot's glasses in like a Ziploc baggie as if they were just chattel. And I couldn't stop to grieve at that moment. I had to keep working. And one of the next things that I did was we had to take the largest piece of the aircraft down the mountain, and they called it the horizontal stabilizer. It was about 15 feet long, about 5 feet wide, and about a foot and a half deep. And they had a rope tied to the top of it and a rope tied to the bottom of it. And the idea was that they were going to lower this piece of aircraft. And I was climbing down, actually more like rappelling down, the side of the cliff face to get to the bottom to help the Marine who had the bottom rope guide this piece of aircraft down. And as I was about in the middle, this guy, for whatever reason, let go of his rope, and the rope swung, hit me in the back, knocked me against the cliff face. And I fell, and I thought I was going to die because I thought that I was 30 or 40 feet up in the air. I was lower than I thought, but I thought that I was going to die. There's a saying that we have, put your head between your knees and kiss your ass goodbye. Well, I didn't have time to do that. And my life didn't flash before my eyes. And as I was falling, that who had the rope and let go was laughing at me. And I hit the ground. Of course, I didn't die, but I hurt my back, my neck, and the knee I fell on. And every time they hurt, which is nearly every day, I think of this incident. And today it's like I have a bunch of wild monkeys in my head that are controlling me, that scream and laugh at me. And I hear this guy's laughter in my nights, in my nightmares. I see these things in during the day. I still smell the fresh dirt of the cliff where my face hit up against when that stabilizer swung and hit me and knocked me into the rope into the cliff face before I fell. I still smell these things. And because I didn't have a chance to deal with this at that moment, it's come back in the form of PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, that I have. And it haunts me every day. So one of the ways I deal with it is I deal with it with they call a bunch of monkeys a troop. So I deal with my troop of monkeys, but I choose to use them in a fun way rather than being a bundle of emotions like I am right now. After my incident on the mountain with the emergency reclamation team, my monkeys just screamed louder. I had a different set of problems that I had to deal with. And the Marine Corps did not quiet my monkeys after all. I still had a monkey riding on my back, and I was acting like a monkey on a bicycle. And so nothing changed. So after I was discharged from the Marine Corps medically, I thought that maybe there would be some way that I would experience the silence of the apes. And so it turned out that the monkey on my back was one that called me to preach. And Maybe that would silence all the apes. The nightmares, the emotions that I had, and I didn't know what to do with, that I could silence them. I heard a monkey call me to preach, so I did. But I ended up switching zoos. I went from monkeys to a zoo filled with gorillas. And what I mean by that is that I went to seminary. I went to Southern Baptist Seminary. And when I first got there, I thought that it was like being in heaven on earth. But I learned that seminary is just like a gorilla cage. The gorillas are bigger than the apes. They're bigger. They're meaner. They look angrier. And they make a heck of a lot more noise. And the particular gorillas that I ran into in ministry were angry. If you did not see eye to eye to them, if you didn't give any credence to any of the confessions over the years, some people call them creeds, but all creeds are just statements of faith. And then you were blackballed, or they would call you names, such filthy names that I call them, such as blasphemous, heretical, and they would carry around their gorilla book that they would read from, and they would bash you with the words of the gorilla. And I know that people know that I'm talking about the Bible. And I don't disparage the Bible. I believe the Bible. I believe that it was fulfilled on the cross. And I believe that it was not written for anybody else beyond the people of those times. And I learned that was the book of the gorillas. And that's what they used to force people into what I affectionately call monkeyanity. And that's where they put monkeys on people's backs by making them read something that wasn't written to them, that was written to an ancient people for ancient purposes, and that it was not written to us. And so that's how the switching of the zoos made me into a gorilla, just by being at an ordained minister.
Well, I know that you want to hear the rest of Sean Smith's story, how he tamed his gorillas and how he heard the gospel. And you will, all being well, be hearing that in the next few weeks. And Sean, it has been so interesting to hear your story. Thank you for it.
Gospel Revolution.
The reason we feel entirely free to say what we think on this show is because, well, we really don't care about you. We don't care if you're upset or not. No, it's not real. It's because we don't have to answer to advertisers. Can you imagine? Now, I know plenty of Christian podcasts, and they're selling this book, they're pushing that Bible, they're doing this for them and that for the other people. We don't do that. All we care about is the truth. And if you don't believe that, that's okay too. But it's because we don't have to answer to advertisers, and so we use a value for value model. If you've received value from our ministry, then we ask you to consider donating towards our combined success. This ministry has been an uninterrupted success story for a quarter of a century. Just think about that for a minute. This ministry has been an uninterrupted success story for 25 years only because of your donations. Go out there, look at all the other ministries, and try and find a ministry. And here's what you do. You go to wayback.org, I believe his name, and try and find any of the other ministries that were out there before us.
Yeah.
We were there.
In the beginning. On the internet, in the beginning was the gospel revolution.
But, you know, it still costs us time, cash, and energy to research, produce, and maintain this earliest grace-based web presence. We have equipment, website costs, a searchable public database complete with 3,000 hours of free material, 24/7 radio podcasts, seminar recordings, videos, social media groups, forums, newsletters, and this is just the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it all just for you, www.gospelrevolution.com. And so it is that we must leave you, family and friends. Remember that the concepts of heresy and blasphemy were invented by religion for the sole purpose of defending doctrines that could not defend themselves. Why don't you go and buy your copy of Redemption is... Did I say buy? I'm sorry, this is a free giveaway.
Yeah.
Why don't you go to thetruegospel.net and get your copy of Redemptionism, a declaration for all, not a choice for a few. It's written by our friend Robert Hines, and honest to goodness, it's just... look, go get it. It's free. If you would like to partner with us, and not just in money, but in any other way you want, call our office on 561-557-1329 and speak to us about how you want to participate, or go to www.gospelrevolution.com and hit the connect link. And so now it's good night from myself, Beres Bartlett, from the GR Studios here in Eva, Alabama.
And it's good night from Mike Williams right here in hometown, finally. In where do I live? Palm Beach Gardens. Palm Beach Gardens, Florida. Thank you guys so much for being a part of this. We're going to get
our act together pretty soon.
Yeah, maybe. We're going to get all the things ready for you from Calgary, and we're going to start doing that immediately when we end this call. So we're got to get out of here.
So get lost.
turn this thing off. We got to get to work.
Get out of here. Would you please get out of here?
Bye.
Bye.
Do you believe what I believe about you? Do you know what I know to be true? I put eternity into your heart. I've been madly in love from the very start, and forever we belong together. Do you believe what I believe about you? You are beautiful, so precious too. You're irreplaceable and unique, created for this intimacy, and forever we belong together. I say I think you're amazing. Whoa, I say I think you're amazing. Whoa, my love for you never changes. About you, with delight, I'm singing over you. Like a bridegroom to his bride, like a father to his precious child, and forever we belong together. I say, I think you're say